Good morning, church. Today, I'm preaching this sermon from Mount Tahoma National Cemetery. It's a place of burial here in our own backyard. It's a place of honoring those who have served. And it's for those who have faithfully gone before us to that eternal place. And because of Jesus, when visiting this place or coming alongside a family in the burial of their loved ones, we are called to remember that these graves, they will be found empty because God is going to raise us to the heavens. And just like those first to the tomb, seeing it empty, we will rise with newfound joy, knowing that death will never have the last word, that God will do a new thing. This is why we declare in Easter worship that He is risen, we are risen, I am risen. Because God's promise of life and love experienced fully is not just resurrection 2,000 plus years ago, but it's been every day since then. All will be risen. This is our faith, and this is what we declare. Well, of course, behind me, you'll also see beautiful Mount Rainier, better known historically as Mount Tahoma by the Salish people, meaning Mother of Waters or Snow-Covered Mountain. And it's a magical and mystical volcano that at times from a distance just does not seem real. Can I get an amen to that? I mean, you come around a corner and you're like, what is this? And is that a mirage or what is it? It's truly a place of beauty. Well, that mountain can help us to lift up our eyes to the hills, to let our eyes rise up from our slumber, and to see how creation continues to breathe and to form and to change and to inspire, because God's creation rising up towards the heavens is a heavenly playground to be enjoyed in the here and now. And so yes, heaven and earth meet on the daily. We living in the midst of Jesus' resurrection power. And so the question for today is, will we, with resurrection power, rise in love? Will we live as that risen people of God right here and right now? Because yes, heaven and earth join in that work. And so our Acts text today, it has Peter arguing with his family members about the ways of the world. And in great conviction, he says boldly, we here kill the author of life. We seek to destroy the things of God in our midst. We choose death and violence and hate. But even then, God does not stay dead. God rises up. We say Jesus is risen because right here, right now, we got to be witnesses of those things. We got to see, like on the scene reporters, we were in the midst of the fray. We are witnesses to Jesus' full life poured out into you, into me, into the world. Peter is wanting his family to know that and to embrace that. And then what are we to do with such a testimony? What are we to do when we experience Jesus' full truth? How will we live? Has anything, because of his resurrection, changed about us? And that question, I think, is still true today. And it's a question that can both personally and communally every single day of our lives inform and ask how we shall live. Well, you may have noticed during Holy Week, and it happens every year in the media, that there's a report on how many people in the U.S. declare having a faith home, a beloved Jesus community out of which to grow and love and serve. And for the first time in U.S. history, the numbers dropped to just 47%. Just 47% of people saying, I have a place for my faith home out of which to love and to serve and to grow. And 20 years ago, that number was still hovering in the 70% range. It's a dramatic decline. The exodus away from the Jesus community in the U.S. continually increasing. And some say, well, it's because I'm not experiencing Jesus within the church. Some people say it's the people out there in the world that declare that I don't see Jesus in their workaday world or what it is that they're giving their lives to. And yet in other parts of the world, people are hungry to hear of this Jesus story and to draw close and to form into community. It's a lot to wrestle with around that. Well, Peter's question found in the book of Acts, asked within his family and community, it is relevant for today. We are witnesses to the resurrection. And so what difference does it make? How then shall we live? Of course, we could ask today, are we and all those around us still meeting this authentic, one-of-a-kind resurrected Jesus? Because there's none other. There's no one like Jesus. Are we meeting the authentic, one-of-a-kind resurrected Jesus? To stand at the foot of the cross, to see him suffer, to hear his words, Father, forgive them, to look into the empty tomb, to have him show up to appear to the disciples with his nail-scarred body. That is front and center testimony. But today, all these years later, what does that look like? Well, I think it looks like you. I think it looks like your neighbor, your stories, your lives, your gifts. As we say, God's heart, our hands, grace, and action, there's a movement of his life within us. That's what it is to look like. Well, to be maybe even more clear, I think we could declare today that the world is in need of more essential resurrection workers. The world is in need of more essential resurrection workers who not just point to it, but actually lay down their life for and with that resurrection power. And that is our task. That is our work, bringing resurrection light and love wherever it is that God takes us, wherever the world needs it, and wherever God needs a job accomplished. So, church, this last week, as I was preparing for the graveside that we were doing here today, but also living in the midst of this Jesus story, as he appears to his disciples, it hit me that post-resurrection for Jesus, where does he show up first? Where is it that Jesus needs to go? And what can we learn from that? Well, what I see here in the story is that Jesus first goes to a place where people are most vulnerable. Yes, most vulnerable. And you could say, well, what about the hungry and the sick and all those that he was teaching and healing and feeding? Yes, they too are vulnerable. But in this moment, post-resurrection, the most vulnerable were those who were following him, laying down their life in him, those who were going out and sharing him. He knew the world was going to be after them. He knew the world would seek to crush them just like they sought to crush him. And so he wanted to show them that resurrection is real. It's alive. And it's happening still today, moment by moment. Especially when essential resurrection workers show up in the places of great human vulnerability. So when you look out into the world, where do you see the most vulnerable? And perhaps that is God speaking to you saying, lay down your life there, serve there, give there, wherever that great need is, and God moving you toward it. Be that essential resurrection worker. Because church, when Jesus shows up to those disciples in both their disbelieving and their wonderment, they rose up. They were risen. They were the living testimony for what resurrection is to look like. Their lives were changed. They became witnesses for the rest of the world. The first disciples shared that story. They invited others and drew people into that. They formed imperfect communities of messy people who knew that there was something more to the world than the story that they were living. And they did it because the spirit that Jesus gave to them. It was God's spirit of life and love coursing through their veins that changed how they lived. I want you to hold that. It was God's spirit of life and love coursing through their veins that changed how they lived. They were changed from death to life, from fear to faith, from greed to gratitude, from hate and apathy to love and service, from rugged individualism to sacred shared community, from war to peace, from violence to nonviolence, from full tombs to empty tombs. And yes, that took a whole lot of time. Today, we might be impatient with that work. We like to experience resurrection like it's instant coffee. Which got me thinking about how instant coffee got robbed by Keurig, because now Keurig coffee is faster than the instant coffee to heat the water and stir it. Anyways, that's a side note. Forget that. That's a bunny trail. Forget about that. The point, we like things instant. We like stuff right now. We have that now habit. We expect things to happen in the moment. And yes, the resurrection of Jesus is an event, but it's also a process. It's something that happened, but it's also still happening and unfolding and working. What happened for Jesus in an instant, in the blink of an eye, it may take a lifetime or more lifetimes, multiple lifetimes for us. Remember, when the women came to the tomb, they were not expecting resurrection. They were expecting death. They had come reverently to anoint the body of their deceased teacher and master. It was a heartbreaking scene to take in. They came as soon as they could, as soon as the Sabbath was over, and as soon as they could buy those spices, they wanted to get there to anoint that body, because such was their love, such was their devotion. And when they came to that tomb, and when they saw that stone rolled away, and they heard the announcement of the young man sitting there, remember, they were alarmed. They were disbelieving. They were afraid. That was the depth of their loss. And for them to move into resurrection, for them to move forward with that kind of hope and that kind of faith, with that kind of belief, that was not a Hollywood ending. Those who had suffered devastating loss, hope is a dangerous thing. For the women to tell the story and to share it and to embrace it and to embody it, to bear it in their life. Again, that's dangerous work. You know, psychologists teach us that the good things that happen to us are like Teflon in the brain. And the bad things, those are like Velcro. When you try to rip those away or work through those, they cause trauma. And if this is so, the resurrection, you see, is not something that will come easily for us. We will need to be patient with ourselves and with others. Easter is going to take some time. All the time that we might need to be able to let go of our fear of what might go wrong and to embrace the hope of what God makes right. Well, I so want for everyone to have that same spirit of life and love coursing through their veins that those first disciples experienced. I want us to continually meet this Jesus, who even in our confusion and bewilderment comes back to say, "Peace, peace be with you." I think we can all agree we need that Jesus peace. We need that peace that surpasses our own understanding, a peace that centers and grounds us so that we can take on the challenges that each of us face. The world needs this peace. Our communities need this peace. Our families need this peace. Our coworkers need this peace. All kids need this peace. All creation needs this peace. And so no pressure, church, no pressure. But that is our work together as essential resurrection workers. And so will we rise in love? Well, if Jesus has anything to say about it, the answer is yes. Yes, we will. So go, serve in places of great vulnerability. Serve in great places of need. Give your lives to the things that God needs tending. And as you do that, that holy resurrection work, remember Jesus stands before you and says, "Peace, peace, peace be with you." And God's people say, "Amen."